Hey everyone, welcome to Mom Notes. This week we had a very special guest on named Lindsay, and Lindsay is actually a theater director, but we worked her in because she is very musical, directs musicals as many of us do, and had a big vocal background, leads worship at her church, has two kiddos, and is a fantastic mom, and balances a lot and had a lot of wisdom to share. So we had a great time talking with her. What'd you think, Sarah?
I was overwhelmed by her coolness. Like, you know, like when she popped on the screen, we were talking, I stared at her and I was like, she's way too cool to be talking to me, because I looked like a fat turd with pajamas
on. Oh my gosh.
And she had like this edgy haircut and was so pretty and cool. But as I talked to her, I realized how like grounded she was and just so dedicated and passionate. And her sense of humor, I loved it. Because when you work with some grumpy people sometimes, you forget that you can have like people with really positive and sense of humor. I loved it.
Yeah.
She had to say.
Yeah, Lindsay has a lot of good pranks. If you're a prankster, I love a good prank. She has posted some really good pranks on her social media accounts. So we will tag her in all of our socials and posts. But we hope that you enjoy our talk with Lindsay. All right. So Lindsay, we have these questions, but they're just like, you know, we're just chatting. They're just like a rough guide. But do you want to introduce yourself and tell us about yourself, who you are, where you're from, what you do?
Sure. So I'm Lindsay Zampek. I am originally from Atlanta, and I moved here, oh, good lordy. It's been 6 years. I have been here in Roanoke because I moved from Savannah. I teach theater right now. Are we saying exactly where we're teaching? Are we like...
We've been saying like areas, but not exact school names. Yeah.
Okay. I teach high school at high school theater at an inner city high school here in this town that we are sitting in residing that no one knows right now.
Which one?
Right. And I'm a mom of two boys. Well, three boys, excuse me. I cannot forget about Blake. I adopted one of my students some time ago. He's on his own doing big boy things. And so I'm also an artist and an actress and a worship leader and currently single and in the torment of the dating world in the Swipe Right Society. So here I am.
So basically, superhero.
Like, yes. Have you ever seen Wonder Woman? I'm not in the same room. I really do.
So you're from Atlanta. That's where you grew up. And then what was your, like, what did you do before you moved here?
Okay. So, well, I say from Atlanta, I claim Atlanta, but that's where I spent majority of my time. But I've lived all over. I've lived in the Midwest a lot and, back and forth, Wisconsin, Georgia, Minnesota, Georgia, you know, it's just all over the place. But before I moved here, I did independent voice lessons, acting lessons. I was an artist. I had my own, I am an artist, but I had my own wall mural business down in Savannah. The reason why I wasn't teaching at a public school, theater at a public school, is they had pulled all of the arts programs out of the public school systems down in Georgia, down where
I was. Oh my gosh, that happens?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's like a movie trope. I can't, that's awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there wasn't even drama club. You had band and choir and PE and foreign language. That was it. But if it was a private school, there were two private schools. They had theater, but someone had to die, someone had to get pregnant, or someone had to retire in order for someone to get that position.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I did what I could. I mean, my mentor said, let your gift work for you, not the other way around. And so I let my giftings work for me. So I created my mural business and that skyrocketed, and I did independent voice and piano and acting lessons. And I worked as a musical theater teacher at a dance studio. And so I did that. So I constantly kept my tool sharpened so that, you know, when I moved here, God prepared me for the job I have now.
This position, yeah, which is all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So I, yeah, so our audience, our niche mm-hmm. is music teachers, but you had so many backgrounds and I knew you had music training and everything and musical, so many music teachers are involved in musicals. So mm-hmm. we really wanted to talk to you because you had a little bit of everything.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of schools that don't have theater programs, like just theater.
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. I've talked to several teachers where it's like, oh yeah. And I do the musical because there is no theater teacher.
Right.
You know, or like, I know ones that teach a theater class or two and they're the choir teacher.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. My theater teacher in high school, he got his degree. He was an English mm-hmm. major
mm-hmm.
and had his certificate in theater or something like that.
Yeah. Like their endorsement or whatever.
Right. And so it's very rare to find someone who is certified, who has their degree in theater, which I do. My degree encompasses everything. I essentially was taught to produce. And so from ground up, you're talking budgeting, you're talking marketing, construction, whether it's set construction, costume construction.
Yeah.
Directing, you're talking music, voice, acting, blocking, dancing, you name it, lighting, sound, everything from ground up. And so it's very rare and unique.
Where did you go to school?
Columbus State University in Columbus, Georgia.
Okay. So when in that timeline did you become a mom?
So I graduated at the Walker School in Marietta, and that's the heart of Atlanta, suburb of Atlanta. And as one does, I got comfortable in the relationship that I was in, and I married, and we fulfilled his dream first. And his dream, well, both we shared the dream of having children and everything like that, but I put my acting on the side and fell in love and got married and had children. And thus my career kind of went to the wayside a little bit, but I would not take back any of it because I could not imagine my life without my two little boys. Mm-hmm. And all of the experiences that I've experienced thus far have made me the woman I am today. So, and I like her. I like her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. But yeah, it was shortly after, I would say, I got married. Oh, 6 months after I graduated college. And then the boys came, or Wyatt came 2 years after that. So yeah, came mom real quick.
Yeah. And so when you, sorry, my dog is chewing his bone.
It's okay, my children. My children's popcorn is clearly out there. So,
yeah. So when you had Wyatt, were you balancing working too?
I was a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
And I did stuff on the side. So I had my mural business part-time. I did Mary Kay actually for a while. And so I would do that part-time. Everything that I wanted to do was always part-time whenever he would come home or on the weekends or things like that.
Right.
Otherwise, I was home.
Which is a full-time job.
It is a full-time job.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially when number two comes, I would imagine. I don't know that yet.
Yes, when number two comes. That's why I always tell, and I'm telling my sister now, please wait until the first one can actually help you do things like hand mommy the diaper.
Right.
And they can help.
That's what I did. That's what I did.
But yeah, you started younger though.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
But the thing is I did not have family near me at all.
I don't either.
We moved away from family because that's where his job was. And I had zero help.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to play the numbers game as to, okay, when can I, let's time this out. And thankfully I was fertile enough to do that.
Yeah. That's what I mean. That's what I mean by younger. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to kind of play the numbers game. Okay. What age would he be walking? What age would he be able to go over here and help me do this? And yada, yada. It worked out great.
They're 2 years apart.
Yeah. They are 2.5 years apart. Yes.
So we waited even longer with Joe, and it was like there, she's 3.5 years older.
She, okay.
Potty trained, you know, before a baby came. I was like, oh no.
We'll see, they're young. But see, they're at a good age that when they're in grade school, when they're in school, they can snitch on each other.
Mm, yeah.
They can snitch on, or even look out for one another. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I know. Talk about the boy. No, go ahead, Sarah.
So Nicole, it is good too. Eventually they do start to play together.
Mm-hmm.
Then they like go off and do something and they're playing together. And you're like, oh, yeah. Just gonna sit here.
I gotta tell you what I did tonight.
Okay.
Tell us.
I said, okay, boys, when you get home, I want you to go in your room and I want you to tell me what's different in your room. Then, oh, this is so exciting. In there, and they're like, Mom, we don't see. Like, well, if you move things around and organize it, you'll be able to see it clearly. You give us a hint. Well, is everything off the floor? No. Well, pick everything up off the floor because I think when everything's off the floor, it'll appear. And so everything's off the floor. Like, Mom, we need another hit. And I go in there. I'm like, is everything off the floor? Like, yeah. I said, so it's clean in here? They're like, yeah. I went, it's different.
Nice.
I'm stealing that. I'm going to do
that. That's like your thing, Sarah, that I saw you said on somebody's thread about what's a white lie you tell your kids. And you wrote, you won't like it. It's spicy.
You won't like it. Yeah.
Spicy, you won't like it.
Yeah. You won't like this, it's spicy. But that doesn't work with C3.
He likes spicy?
Yes, he likes spicy, he likes bitter. He likes his kid's favorite food, these two, are pickles, coffee, both like matcha lattes. I'm like, what?
Yep, Liam likes coffee, he likes salsa.
Yeah.
Chicken salad, which is like has a lot of spice to it.
So oh, yeah. The spicy thing works with Joan more, but Clyde will eat anything.
Mm. See, I don't eat spicy. So if I'm eating it, everybody knows it's not spicy.
You can just tell it's hurt spicy anyway. It's a white lie.
So I have a girl. Sarah has a girl and a boy.
Uh-huh.
So talk to us about like all boy mom.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Tell us boy mom stories.
She said calmly.
Course. So boy mom life is going to the bathroom, having to put the toilet seat down, and when you finally sit down, you realize that there's no toilet paper. And you look to the right to find it, and there's boogers on the wall. And even worse, to the left, there's poop smear.
Oh no.
Like someone got it on their fingers and they ran out of toilet paper. So now the hunt to find whose butt has allowed their underwear to become the toilet paper. And so that's one story. Tonight I actually took video them blaming each other for farting. And I said, actually, you pick your nose. He's like, no, you pick your nose. Well, you sniff your feet. Like we go back and forth. It's bodily functions. But let me tell you the best thing. I love being a boy mom because I'm the mom that will chase my kids and play tag on the playground. And the fact that if they do something wrong and I get onto them, not even but 10 minutes later, it is forgiven, it's forgotten,
mm-hmm.
and grudges. And because, I mean, being a teacher, we have experience with both sexes. And we know that girls will hold a grudge for as long as they can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 2 weeks go by and you're like, what is wrong with you? Well, 2 weeks ago, you didn't write me a pass to go to the bathroom, talk to my boyfriend.
I was just about to say that you let Susie go to the bathroom. Right. You didn't let me go to the bathroom.
Right. You gave me this look the other day.
Yeah. And I thought you were mad at me.
Yeah. Right.
I had one female student. She looks at me with tears in her eyes. She goes, why don't you like me?
Oh no.
Oh no.
I said, what made you? Well, I don't, hold on. Did I ever say I did it? Like, it's out of nowhere. So, I mean, that's one of the things, you know, the tomboy in me that almost flourished to its fullest extent because I used to do motocross. It almost comes out all the way, but I love being a boy mom. Most definitely.
And do you find that you gel with like your students that are boys?
I do. I gel with them and the pranks that I love to pull.
Oh my gosh. We have to talk about the pranks. My dog has to.
Girls don't handle pranks very well. And so.
No.
And so they love it. And I can take it too. So when they try to dish it back out, I can receive it just as well.
And you're not going to freak out. It's funny.
And I'm not going to freak out. Like when they squirt me with a water gun or something like that, I'll tell them, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And they come at me with it. And I'm not going, my hair. Really what I'm saying is, well, the joke's on you. My hair is curly. So what's it going to do? Come on. You know, like it's.
Yeah.
It's and they have a good time with me. But yes, to answer your question, I feel like I gel better. I gel with my male students, most definitely.
Well, because you can like rewind 5 years ago and you see them, that's your kid, you know, you're like, oh, I know what you just were.
Exactly.
Also, they kind of just look bigger. I feel like the boys, they just look bigger, but they're not actually, they're still like, yeah, they love to do you did 5 years ago.
Go up to them and say, boogers. And they'll just chuckle. You know, they're just this part. They're children. Most definitely.
Yeah. So what I'm just curious, what prompted Savannah to Roanoke?
My ex-husband's job.
Okay, so he moved to Roanoke and you, okay, I got you.
We all moved
to Roanoke. Okay.
Yeah. He got a job up here. And so we all moved up here, which I'm very grateful for because I wouldn't have the community I have now. And I wouldn't have the job I have now, which is a theater teacher's dream job. The facility mm-hmm. that I'm working in and the resources that I have and my creative outlet that I'm able to just thrive in, it's a dream job. So yes, his job brought us up here from Savannah. And you would think that Savannah would be a really artistic town and that, you know,
yeah, the art
is thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much.
Okay.
As far as, because the theater is pulled from the schools. So
right.
the arts that are there, it's in SCAD, Savannah mm-hmm. College of Art and Design.
Mm-hmm.
And then amongst the community, just out and about, but it's not deep in there into the school systems or anything.
And that's where it needs to be like born, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsay, I love to prank people. Like,
I know you do. It.
And so I feel like when April Fool's rolls around, we need to team up.
I think it needs to go inner school.
Oh, okay.
I think.
All right.
Look at.
Yeah, because Alex is expecting it from me now. So maybe it can be that you prank him and I will prank your colleague.
Yes.
I look forward to your prank Alex annual videos. Gosh, every year Nicole does like I pranked Alex on her Instagram story, and I look forward to it.
And every year it works.
Yes, she always gets him for one thing. Like she'll do like some casual things, and he's like, Nicole, and then she gets it.
I just recently pranked my students by making them think that we changed the mascot. And it worked.
What did you say it changed to?
So Kat was in on this one. Mm-hmm. They don't trust me. They're used to my antics.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Kat, I helped her. She wrote me an email. I said, I don't want to read it until the time I need to. And so she wrote me an email saying that, you know, attention faculty and staff, on behalf of the school board, da, 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 we voted and we decided that Patrick Henry, well, you know, all these other, I just gave it away, so sorry. Patrick Henry, William, and Lucy Ashton, all are going to change their mascots. And I said, I'm going, what? And I made them think that I had intentionally put on mute, but I didn't do it. And they heard me. And I said, oh, I thought I put you on mute. No, you did not. What just happened? We're doing what? And I read the email to them and I said, you've got to be kidding me. The William Fleming weasels. I had to bleep out one of the students' major reactions. Because she was like, she was not having it. And they lost their mind. One girl, she goes, Mama, because you know, some of them, they're still virtual. Some of them are virtual. Mama, they gonna change us to the weasels. Who's gonna call us the weasel? They lost it. And then I had to do, it was like a 3-part video. And then part 3, I said, y'all, it's a prank. Missy,
I can't with you. I can't with you. Oh man, that's so funny. I can never think of good ones for my students. I'm going to have to consult your brain.
Oh yeah. I found a love letter and really it was Shakespeare.
That one was good.
And then,
That's a good one. Cause it's
lesson. So tell Sarah about that one.
I incorporate what I do into my lesson plans. And so it's working. I'm letting the social media and the technology work with me instead of fighting against it.
Yeah. That's smart. Yeah. That's why I do TikTok songs. Like we're doing all the songs on TikTok. Yeah.
I have now 607,000 followers on TikTok, which is insane. But these pranks are making it rise. I did that. So I incorporated the modern translating Shakespeare sonnets into modern verse into my lesson plans. What else did I do?
Yes, she like pretended she found a note. Mm-hmm. And was reading it to the class. Ooh,
that's so funny.
And she was like, guess who wrote this?
Guess who wrote this? I know who it is. Guess who wrote it? Oh yeah, it was a good one. But anyway, I do all of these antics and I have to constantly keep them guessing.
All right, everyone. So our director's note this week is a really special one because it's something that I started doing in my early days of teaching. And one of the first things that, as you do, Nicole swiped it. And I think she actually made it better. So I did this game called like Pass the Baton. And it was like a team building thing where if you had the baton, it was your turn to talk and you had to compliment a person in the choir. And then they got the baton and then it was their turn to talk. That's all I remember from it.
And say something nice about somebody else.
Yeah, it's like evolved into different things for me over the years. And I haven't done it this year at all yet. What do you do with it now, Nicole?
Well, I made a baton. What did you use for the baton?
I think it was my conducting stick that I had to buy in college or something.
Okay, yeah.
The only use it's ever had.
Right. I never have used one of those for real.
I don't even know where mine is.
They do make you buy those in college.
We used to pretend they were Harry Potter wands in conducting class. That was all we did. We just did Harry Potter spells at each other.
Perfect. Yeah. So I made a baton out of a paper towel roll and wrapped a pink ribbon around it and called it a day. And the kids, and I still have it. I've had it for 10 years and the kids treasure it. They call it the spirit stick. And I keep it on my podium. And anytime we have a couple minutes or they need a brain break or something like that, we will pull out the spirit stick and do pass the baton, which I stole from Sarah. And that's what they do. They stand up, they say something nice about somebody, they give it to them, everybody claps and cheers, and then they say something nice about the next person. And I try to keep track of who's been done, you know, so everybody gets complimented. And it's really sweet. I had to make some ground rolls for it after the first couple times.
What are your ground rules? Because I'm looking back, I'm like, how did I make it not just, I like your shoes, or
right,
your-
yeah. So I do demonstrate. I started off, and I say that they have to start with this person, blah 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 blah. So they don't give away the name till the end. And one of the main ground rules I always talk about is, this is not about your bestie. Try to pick somebody maybe you don't talk to as much, and try to make it so that it's not all inside jokes. Like, that was a thing kids did. This person and I went to the mall this weekend and this really funny thing happened and it's so-and-so. So it has to be genuine compliments. And here's an example. And then, yeah, my beginner kids do like, she's really nice and she has a really good voice and it's Sarah.
And then
they're like,
that's it.
That's fine.
She smiled at me and we're actually talking a little bit and I follow her on Snap and she's cool. And it's
yeah, right.
Except Nicole does not have a Snapchat, everyone. It's very sad.
I actually do, but I don't know how to get to it and it's inactive. Yeah. So can you tell us about your music background?
Absolutely. So, no, when I was five,
there we go.
I got my very first karaoke machine.
Yes.
And it all just went up from there. but no, my grandmother taught me how to play piano, and I actually, her piano is sitting over here. I inherited that when she passed away. And so it was very special to me. Yes. So I'm classically trained, so I read sheet music, which now being a worship leader, it's kind of it's learning a totally different language to play by ear or even by the number system. So yeah. I'm having to retrain myself. Cause I'm like, if someone could just put the sheet music in front of me.
Yeah. That's how when there's like praise music or sheet music like that, I'm like, it's just chords or something. I'm like, where's the notes? Like, give me my solfege. Give me the notes.
Right. Just go to two. What's two?
Oh,
I cry.
Numbers. They're always like, go to four.
Right.
I go to six. I go to one. Yeah.
What is
that? Like from the stage sometimes because our pastor is musical. Lindsay and I go to the same church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he'll do it from the stage and he'll call on the guy on keys and he'll be like using it in a sermon and he'll be like, all right, hey, go to four, now seven, now one. And he like has to be able to do it.
I got like a traditional like Presbyterian, like singing from the hymn, singing the Messiah, singing. Oh, I would be on my butt just.
Yeah. So it's,
no.
So I've been playing piano since I was 10. And when I was in high school, I remember I quickly went to advanced women's chorus. I think it was my sophomore year. I started in an advanced women's chorus. I auditioned. I don't know how that procedure went when I was in high school, but advanced women's chorus, I absolutely loved it. It was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And before I got there, I think what landed me there was in the intermediate course my freshman year, the teacher wanted to train my ear, but really she wanted someone with a strong ear to stand next to this poor, unfortunate soul that sounded like Kermit.
Oh. No, you were the, you were the,
please be the strong voice. In the
yeah.
I know what that is. Oh, no. Yeah. I'm so sorry for that student.
And it's always that poor kid. You're always like, oh, I know, but
I know you have, you're the only one that can keep them on.
Yeah.
And like my choir teacher was like, you've got to fix your face. I cannot
fix your face.
Because when Kermit would go off into the rafters, I'm going,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Cannot.
I've had anyway. Those moments. And they just are like, well, some people need to sing on too.
Yeah.
And like, everybody knows what they're talking about. Oh, it's awkward.
My first couple years teaching, I had to be like, okay, we had to talk about how to like self-critique ourselves. And I was like, we don't say some people. We don't say she. We always say we, and I would like stop them like, no, no, we, like they hated taking ownership for it, but it was like, no, 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 we are all, it's because it was like, some people are.
Some sopranos aren't singing that loudly.
Yeah. Right.
Always the same.
It's funny.
So it was an advanced women's choir. And then right when I graduated high school, I joined the praise team of my church and quickly fell under the mentorship of John and Jocelyn Brockman, which are phenomenal musicians and worship pastors. And they are now in Texas. And a lot of my harmonizing and a lot of just picking harmony out of anything that isn't the norm that you would go to came from them. Just the improvisational harmony and harmonizing, and even the runs and things that I can do with my voice, the control, a lot of the control I learned from Jocelyn, and I'm very grateful for that. And so doing that through college, being on the worship team in college, and then the training that I received in college was not necessarily directed just towards voice, but like I said, it was all encompassing. The program that I was in was all encompassing. And so I learned a lot of control there as well with my voice and the projection and things like that. But then also singing for a mic in worship is totally different than singing on stage. And so learning how to balance between and working with helping with others and things like that, still using my piano skills and freshening myself, constantly trying to sharpen my tool really is what I was trying to do. I've always wanted to learn another instrument, but I've just never had the time. I've just wanted to focus on the piano and try to become the best pianist that I can there first before I try a different instrument. But as far as my musical background, that's pretty much it. I mean,
did you feel like you were gonna, when you were deciding what to major in, were you trying to pick between those two things?
I did. I really wanted to be a choir director. I wanted to be a choir teacher. However, my love for music was just as strong as my love for art. And my love for theater, and my love for dance, and my, you know, like all of the things. And I was thinking, okay, well, what can I do that I can be satisfied in all of those artistic arenas? Because I am gifted in all of those. I wouldn't say I'm the best. I'm just being confident in what I can do, what God has been able to allow me to do. So how can I use all of these in just one place? And theater is exactly where I landed myself, because I do scenic design and I paint for my stage and do the scenery.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, I help with voice and I help with the music and then I help with choreography and then I help with this and that. Like I'm all over in the theater. So it's all encompassing, but I did have a hard time deciding.
That's so funny, because I almost did theater. Like I was all set to go to a school in Pennsylvania for theater.
Okay.
And then I had did Allstate my senior year chorus. And then I was like, no, I'm going to switch. I'm going to do chorus. Like I always wanted to teach, but I was almost in declared, registered, ready to go theater. And then,
well, you guys know, I mean, we share so many students that those two disciplines are so connected.
Yeah, that was my whole high school career. It was choir and the musicals and the plays. That was mm-hmm. thing to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, being a part of the Advanced Women's Choir in high school was so wonderful and warm and inviting and such a wonderful experience. I have so many fond memories from it. It was addicting, and I missed being a part of that choir for so many years after graduation.
Okay, so now what do you love about teaching theater?
I love being able to educate my students about what I'm passionate about and seeing them take on that passion, discover it themselves, and discover their giftings. Mm-hmm. And watching that thrive, watching that discovery of how wonderful they are, and then realizing it. And like I said, discovering the fact that they can do something they didn't realize they could do before.
Mm-hmm.
I love the healing aspect of it, the mental health portion of theater, diving into the psyche of it and the schematics. I love the interpersonal skills and the relationships that form, the bonds that I have with my students are very strong, and the life skills that they learn from it. I can show them that this is versatile. Mm-hmm. It's versatile, and you use these skills far beyond high school and in places you didn't think that you would learn, that you would need them, and you use them mm-hmm. on a daily basis. So the musical is just a big bonus,
right?
Fall play is just a big bonus, but these classes, that's where, you know, magic can happen.
That's so interesting, because I do feel like there are a lot of theater directors where their main focus is the productions.
I just was thinking that, how I've known some theater teachers where the classes are kind of fluff and like a joke, like they only put their big care into the productions. Like it's not, the classes are just kind of like womp womp. That at least I love hearing the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Well,
I think for me, my personality is, if someone tells me I can't, I prove them wrong. And so in that same vein with these classes, the struggle of keeping 40% of the students that did not sign up for my class entertained and wanting to like the class, it's a challenge mm-hmm. for me. And so I seek that out, and I thrive on constantly showing them that this is actually something really good. Mm-hmm. And even if you didn't sign up for it, I'm going to make you like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll be fine. You like it.
So what are some of your like tips and tricks, like teacher hacks for building that culture in your classroom?
The number one hack or tip and trick is I am 110% transparent, and I do not try to be perfect. I let them see me mess up. I let them see me make mistakes. I let them see me and sometimes uncensored. But then at the same time, I also let them see me learn, let them see me apologize, let them see me be humble. And who I am with my colleague, they see I'm the same with them as I am with my boss, as I am, because that's relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can relate to you in any fashion, then you've won their respect. And ultimately, as a teacher, we want respect in our classroom. And so years of of teaching, I've realized and discovered that's how you get it, is being transparent. And so that is my number one tip and trick for my students, is just the transparency of it all. My other one, I would say, I don't tell them to do something that I would not do myself. So if I tell them to put their phone away, I'm not going to be all mine. Mm-hmm. If I tell them not to eat, I'm not going to eat. But then at the same time, I'll tell them, okay, I'm pulling out my phone. You go ahead, but you're going to see I'm not making a phone call, you know, but I am texting, right? So if they're if I'm doing it, they can do it. If I bring something to eat, well, this is pre-COVID, right? Mm-hmm. I bring something to eat. Okay, baby, you want some? Here, you want a bite? You want a bite? You want to, you know, you want some of this? Here, I got some chips. You want some chips? You know, we're all going to have it. We're going to have a popcorn party today. But Ms. Z, we didn't say, but I'm eating so you can eat. You know, if I'm going to clean it up, you're going to clean it up. It's that way they are, I'm not up here and they don't feel like they're down here.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, naturally that respect comes, and then the balance then sets in. It's pretty magical to me.
I was thinking the whole time you were talking about that, if I'm asking them not to eat, I'm not going to eat. I was like, unless I'm pregnant. Unless I'm pregnant. My kids always talk about how they were like, something was weird because you never ate in class before. Then all of a sudden you were like always eating Cheerios because it was the only thing I could keep down. So I was like,
Time, I kid you not, I was super pregnant, and one of my sweet boys, they had like some kind of like leftover banquet sports thing. So he like texted me and was like, do you want some food?
Aww.
Yes. And so he brought me in this big bowl of like mac and cheese. So like, super pregnant, sitting at the piano, eating mac and cheese. And they were like, and I was like, I'm pregnant. I'm going to teach and eat this mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And they were like, yes, ma'am. I'm like, okay.
There was one girl that said to me, I was like 39 weeks pregnant. Like my due date was the next week. And I always ask them to stand up, you know, for a majority of our class.
Mm-hmm.
She was just like sitting, and I like had asked her, you know, hey, can you please stand up? And I'd gone over, I didn't make a big thing of it, but I was like, we're all going to stand. Like, can you stand up? She goes, you're not standing. And I go, like, cause my filter was no longer. I'm 39. Right. Months.
No filter.
I was like, I'm 9 months pregnant. And what's your reason here?
Yeah.
But she was like, you know, one of those days, but yeah. Other than that, extenuating circumstance.
Anyway, being pregnant, totally different story. And I think you being that transparent.
Yeah.
They understand. They would prefer you to eat.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh yeah. The hanger is real.
Yeah.
Right. Especially with the boy. Oh my gosh.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Sarah says she got like really angry, hungry when she was pregnant with boys.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I had morning sickness all of the months with
me. I know. Mm-hmm. I remember you telling me that because we went on that trip together. You came with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only a couple months pregnant, and you were saying mm-hmm. that you were all 9 months.
Mm-hmm. All 9 months. And I could relate to the Cheerios thing with Wyatt, because the first 3 to 4 months with Wyatt, I craved bland cereal, and that's all I could eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's all we boxes and boxes of cereal we went through, because that's all I could eat. And he just had a Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
So
that's a good one.
So yeah. But did you tell Sarah how I knew?
Oh my gosh. No, you have to tell the story. I forgot okay. about this.
So,
as you know,
was it New Year's
Super Bowl. Or
Super Bowl? Super Bowl. I come over, well, they invite me over to their house for a Super Bowl, and I'm in the grocery store, and just naturally, she did not tell me anything. I did not hear from anybody. No one
said
anything to me about nothing, no bun in the oven. And I'm like, well, I need to bring something just to, you know, to be a good guest, bring something
to the party.
And I'm like, I wonder what would settle Nicole's stomach.
But she didn't know.
I was like, something, she needs something bland.
Nobody.
I wasn't even thinking, oh, I bet she's pregnant. It was just already assumed and ingrained in my mind that she was pregnant. And so I was like, oh, I need to get something that's going to settle her stomach. And so when I got there, that's essentially what I said to her. And she went, you're pregnant, right?
Yeah, that's how you said it. You were like, you're pregnant, aren't you? And I was like, how do you know anybody?
Oh my God.
So weird.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she had like intuition.
My sister-in-law with that was like that with me. Mary Hannah was like that with me both times. She just knew.
Yeah.
It was like, weird because
how did you know? She knew before I did. I like posted this picture of like Clyde and said something like mushy about him because it was his birthday. We found out like on his birthday that we were pregnant. Yeah. Found out on his birthday, pregnant with Joan. Then second child had the baby on his birthday. So I need to watch with this man's birthday. But yeah, she's like, oh, I knew. I was like, how'd you know?
That's awesome. What's your favorite show you ever directed, Lindsay?
Oh, my students aren't going to hear this podcast, are they?
probably not. Well, unless they find
it. Unless they find it. Have they all been at your school? Did you ever direct shows before that?
Oh, yes. I've directed shows before that. But I think, I mean, most, I would have to say it would be a tie. Oh, man. We're talking musicals or show?
Show.
Oh.
Maybe both, musical and straight show.
Okay, yeah.
Gotta give some love to straight theater, too.
We'll just do one. We'll do one of each. I would say Sister Act.
Such a good show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Was
Raise Your Voice.
Goodness. I absolutely loved it. So there's that, the musical, and then Arsenic and Old Lace.
I love Arsenic and Old Lace.
That my senior year of high school. That's a great show.
Yeah, it was really great.
My theater director, we did, and rest in peace, he just passed away tragically a few months ago, and I'm still torn up about it. I still get upset about it. He was an amazing theater teacher. We did like the scene where the guy comes in and he sits on the window seat and opens. That was always like one of our first scenes in acting class, and I like remember loving doing it. And then I was in like his upper level ones and I would watch like the younger kids doing it. And it was, oh, I love that play.
So the guy, what's his name?
Cary Grant. Cary Grant, but like that's not the characters.
The character's escaping me. The guy who's the murderer, the guy who's opposite of the doctor. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, but like, I don't know their name. I'm just thinking about Cary Grant.
No. My actor, he quit on me the week before the show. He said, I don't wanna.
Oh, geez.
Oh my gosh. I said, the worst nightmare. Like, what do you do?
I don't wanna.
You don't wanna. I don't wanna pay my bills. But I still pay my bills. Excuse me. You don't wanna? Yeah, I don't wanna. So, one of my actors who did not audition for the fall show because they wanted to try a sport. Well, the sport failed miserably, and so they were available, and they redeemed themselves by coming in. And when I tell you, he had 3/4 of the script memorized by opening night, and he had the script in his hand, and no one knew it.
Yeah.
Because he was that good. And he ad-libbed, and it was the funniest thing ever. And just the cast and the antics and the set design and just everything. It was all around. It was one of my favorite straight plays that I've all
done. Oh, I love a good straight play. If the kids like get it.
Yes.
Know, and like, mm-hmm. I've seen some work they don't, and I'm like, oh dear. But like, if that one, if they get it, and the like cast groove is there with the comedy and the timing and like that. Oh, phenomenal.
Comedic timing. Majority of the cast just naturally gifted at it.
Yeah, some of them, so hard to teach.
Some of them, mm-hmm. I did have to teach it, but majority of them, their comedic timing was on point. Even mm-hmm. when others would mess up, in balancing that out, they would balance each other out. And it was mm-hmm. great. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to watch. To watch the students just get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Lindsay, the school I taught at before, my first job, I did the musicals. I directed them. Yeah. And we had a situation like that happen. We were doing Tarzan, and which is a great show. You don't think about it, but like Phil Collins.
Oh, Phil Collins went 100% on that soundtrack for
yeah.
He did not have
We just had the right cast. It was a really good show, but it was tech week. It was the second to last dress rehearsal. And we had a female playing the Clater, the bad guy, the like hunter guy.
Oh yeah.
And they were doing so well. It was like, we opened on like Thursday and it was like Tuesday. They were doing so well. And you know, we were going crazy in the house, just like taking notes, but like, you know, they knew, you know, that when they know they're doing well, so their adrenaline was going, and they got to the end. And they got to the fight scene, and she ended up getting hurt and like got a really, really, really bad concussion.
And
we were 2 days away from opening night, and she couldn't like be under lights. She couldn't, it was really bad. And so we had a girl who was in the ensemble. Oh no. She played the guy's assistant. So she was in all his scenes, his scenes. We were like, can you do it? And we pulled her out of class. We emailed her teachers. She learned the part in one day. Like on Thursday during the day, we had her in the auditorium all day. I had like people covering my class for me. Like I didn't teach my classes that day. The theater teacher did the same thing. We just worked with her. We taped pieces of the script inside like maps and like, you know, anything we could put it behind.
Smart.
And she was amazing.
Wow.
It was one of those like you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, kids are awesome. They'll rise to the occasion.
They will.
Lindsay, how do you balance the crazy musical season? And we talked to some guests about this too, with like marching band or show choir, you're in the musical, and single momming your awesome boys. Like how does this work?
Well,
it makes my brain hurt thinking about it.
They have no choice but to be immersed in yeah. theater world, because I cannot keep it separate. There's just no way. And so I leave during my planning period and I'll go pick them up and bring them back. Like if we're talking tech week, you know, I'll leave during my planning period, go pick them up, bring them back, and they are just there. And I've got 16 babysitters. You know,
yeah.
helping hands, and they love my kids. My kids love them, and it's a safe environment for them. And they know the safety. They know where to go and where not to go. They know the wing space. They know the backstage. They know everything. And so, and they've even, I mean, for my Christmas shows, Liam was not this past Christmas, the one before, I want to say, yes. It was his first time being Tiny Tim, but before that, Wyatt was Tiny Tim in the script.
Yeah,
that's so cute.
Yeah, and so they are in it. They are just immersed in it, but it's not without its difficulties.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
You know, but I have no other choice but to continue moving and staying strong, and. If something doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. If, you know, they eat popcorn for dinner, then they eat popcorn for dinner. If, you know, it is what it is. I try to stick to a regimen where their bedtime is between 8 and 8:30 every single night, but sometimes it's 9. Mm-hmm. I can't beat myself up about it, but they are happy and they are healthy. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's awesome. Totally immersed. So your school lets you like have a later planning so you can go.
My planning's Bridge. So it's at the end of the day, which is great because then it sets me up to be able to prepare for rehearsals.
Yeah, that's awesome that they work on that.
Yeah, that was set in stone from the very beginning when I came on board the school.
Do you have moments where you feel like you get the mom guilt, or is that something you've worked through?
I do. I'll have moments like that because there are times where I will have to ask their dad to watch the boys during my week that I get them or during my time. They're now actually, our custody change arrangement has changed now, but before when it was the 50-50, I would feel guilty asking him to take them and I would barely see them because of the shows. Because at that point, when I'm running around and there are no eyes to watch them because the eyes are on stage in front of house, you know, I felt very guilty for that. I felt guilty that, okay, well, you know, I'm not staying at home and I'm not here 24/7 when you need me to be because I have a career now. And that mom guilt was very thick, but if I don't follow my passions and my dreams within reason, then I will lose sight of who I am. And when they have become adults and they have flown the coop, I will have no choice but to look around and question who I am. What do I love? What do I want to do now? And where's my identity? Because I put everything into them and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just take one day at a time. I make sure that I love on them. I make sure that I give them enough kisses and hugs. It's still, enough is never enough. I mean, they'll go to school and be like, I didn't kiss them enough this little day. So, like, I didn't tell them that they were important enough. But I just try to do my best and that's all that I can. You know, and at the end of the day, when I hear people say how they've witnessed me love on them, or they've witnessed my parenting, or your children are so respectful and this, that, and the third, and I get the feedback, then it's confirmed. Okay. I am doing a good job. But at the time I'm like, I'm so hard on myself.
Yeah. I think we all are.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It is a thing. It is, but they're happy and they love their mama. So.
Yeah. And they're seeing you, you know, in your element, and they're getting opportunities and experiences, and that's important for them to see.
And they can be proud of you. Mm-hmm. Look at my mom being a boss lady and doing all this stuff. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
She tells people what to do.
Yeah. That's a strong message for a young boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, happy Women's Day, everyone.
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, what a good day to record this podcast.
Yeah, I thought of that this morning. I was like, oh good, we're doing our podcast on Women's Day.
I think I'll celebrate and I'll get myself a director's chair.
Yes.
Oh yes, definitely.
Okay, I have one more question before we wrap up, because you brought up the pandemic. So your show closed like right this time last year. That show, yeah, that's what made me think of it. No. So I'm struggling with this too, like guiding kids through that loss, like that's still going on. Like we're still not able to do what we do. How did you guide them through that, through the show, and then like kind of now not being able to do what you do?
So I was, I had the open, transparent, raw discussion with them this sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. And you need to feel. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to be angry. However, don't stay in it. And you need to look at your perspective. And you need to think about the things that you learned along the way. Did you learn that you can dance? Did you learn that you can sing? Did you learn, you know, friendships and the strengths that you gained and all of these things? And they did, all of them grew exponentially. What did you take away from this experience that is a positive? And focus on that. There is nothing that we can do about this. There is nothing that anybody can do about this. You can be as angry as you want, but who are you going to blame? There's nothing that you can do because you can't change it. And so moving forward, I told them, now you just are more aware that time is precious. And each day, make it count. Make sure that your actions and your experiences, you absorb it and you retain it and you take away what you learned and the joys from it, from each day and each experience. And so now moving into this, where we are coming up on a year since it was our last rehearsal. And we had a fantastic last rehearsal of this show that we couldn't do. And this hit home for me too, because this was so personal. Jesus Christ Superstar, this show just really was something that was on my heart. And I was devastated by it. But we had a fantastic last rehearsal. So coming up on that, I was talking with my kids today about it. And there's a little bit of PTSD. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit. Because they're scared to be excited.
Yes, I've noticed that with mine.
They're scared to be excited about it. They're scared to set anything into action. Mm-hmm. Because they're like, well, what if it gets taken again? And I said, well, then it does. Mm-hmm. I said, but we know that that's a possibility now. And knowing that it's a possibility, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Each day.
Yeah. Enjoy each day that we get to create. Because at least we're able to create right now. At least we're able to do. I said, I fought for that for you. So at least we're able to do that and we're making, you know, adjustments and it's not going to look the same, but it's something. So
are you guys recording something?
We just started in-person rehearsals for 21 Chump Street. It's a 14-minute musical.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a very good idea.
So it's very short. Because we're allowed to sing for 30 minutes.
Yep. Right.
30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And so whether we pre-record and we lip sync, we're wearing masks. Whether we pre-record and we lip sync or we sing with our masks on.
Right.
Either way, we have several contingency plans.
Yeah.
And we can do multiple shows because it is only so short.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let that air filtration system happen and open the doors and Lysol everything and do everything we need to do. But they fell in love with this. We came across this musical 2 years ago and it was one of their suggestions.
Well, that's awesome.
That's a good idea. The 14-minute.
And it sends a really good message. And so it's a multi-purpose show.
Yeah.
So.
And also tell Sarah what your fall show was, because I think it was so cool.
So our fall show was titled Unspoken. Ooh. It was written by myself and my advanced theater kids.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that cool?
That is so cool.
It actually, I hate to say that I was shocked that it came out so well. Like I didn't believe in it. But I really did. I'm getting it published.
And it was about like stories from teachers and students, right?
Yes. So it started with an assignment. And the assignment was give me one great memory you have from class and one not so great memory, a bad memory that you have from class. whether it was a student to student, student to teacher, teacher to teacher, and it all had to do with bullying and inequalities in the classroom. So
that break my heart.
The raw, unfiltered situations that teachers deal with, that students deal with, that students have heard teachers talk about other students, talk about other teachers. There were some really funny comedic moments in there. So, but every single thing, word for word, was verbatim. There was nothing made up in there. Everything was exactly how it has been seen. I had teachers give me their stories from the classrooms. I mean, even today, I had one of my actors was actually in one of my classes, and I went to the bathroom for just 2 minutes and I came back and someone had written their Snapchat on my whiteboard and that was in the show. On Snapchat at blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's unspoken. Here it is. But yeah. At the end, it was monologues from everybody with the things that they are dealing with that are unspoken. The situations that people go through that no one talks about, that are everything, the things that are unspoken. It was so powerful and so moving. So
oh, please publish it. Oh my gosh.
Published, and I'm also having it filmed. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I know. It's I thought that was so cool. I like shared it everywhere because I thought it was
amazing. Thank you.
I'll probably cry my eyes reading it, but I want
to see. Yeah, I know.
The administrators saw it. I was able to have in person. I was able to, I finagled this thing to where I was like, they need to have some kind of a live audience. So I put the safety measures in place to where we could. And because I had them in groups.
Yeah. And
the administrators saw it and they were boo-hooing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
These people cry. They were like, it was
wrong. Ooh. That's amazing. Good. This year, you know, just like, oh, what's happening now?
Yeah. We have some world changers on here.
I know. I'm like, wow, where are these people? I can barely get my Google slide to work.
Whatever. Sarah's a world changer too.
I can see it.
I played Spice Girls today as their opening song.
Oh,
I'll play Spice Girls.
I love Spice Girls.
Me too.
I loved Sporty Spice.
Me too. I was a little boy too.
I liked Scary Spice.
I liked Scary Spice.
And Ginger Spice.
Here's a toy from A to Z.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, with an AY, for joining us this week on Mom Notes. I absolutely love talking with you and laughing with you, most of all. Everyone, this week for our Mom Notes, we're asking for messages about crazy stories or cherished stories you have from directing your school musical or having your kids in a musical, anything about that. So send it our way. And Nicole has a Mom Note to read to us.
Yes, we're so excited. We had somebody write in, and this was a reaction to one of Kate's director's notes in episode 5 in regards to her class calendar. So shout out to Danielle E., a music educator in middle school music. She has an Instagram, Musical Middles. And Danielle says she loved this idea. She gets overwhelmed with trying to keep up with their birthdays, and this is a great way to give ownership while freeing us up. Totally agree. We're going to try it too, Danielle. Thanks for writing in.
Yes, and we hope all of you have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Mom Notes. Bye!
Bye!
One time, you and I should record the interlude music. We'll just be like...
Okay, yeah, and I'll like beatbox.
Yeah, okay, ready? Here we go. No, it's gonna be all out of sync, but we'll try it. Okay. All right, 1, 2, ready, go. It's sounding it like two. I can't hear you when I'm singing.
And this is why.
This year is impossible. You beatbox, I'll sing. Oh, wait.